Good afternoon once again from Cedar Grove Beach out in Staten Island. On the update this Sunday, the warnings have finally been given out. Upset by the rampant violations of the state's pandemic-fighting restrictions, Governor Cuomo has threatened to pull the liquor licenses of scofflaw restaurants and even reinstate closings in areas where local governments have failed to enforce the rules. Manhattan and the Hamptons out on Long Island were singled out as the problem areas, as the state has received 25,000 complaints of reopening violations. We'll have the latest details. The U.S. Congress is once again at an impasse over a widely backed bill to designate lynching as a federal hate crime. But like the previous attempts before it, the proposal is being blocked by a white Southern representative, Republican Senator Rand Paul. MLB players have basically said, name a time and a place and we'll go play. They appear to be headed for their shortest season since the 1870s. Players have told the commissioner's office that any more talks on starting the season would be pointless and that the owner should order a return to work. And Hong Kong Disneyland is going to reopen on June 18th as the city is looking to gradually restart its economy amid a dwindling of infections. Disneyland, which has been closed since January due to the pandemic, will reopen with limited visitor capacity. This is the update on Flag Day, Sunday, June the 14th, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Sunday to you. Brandon Julian here, the host of The Update. Podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Back out here again at Cedar Grove Beach. It's a lot quiet, a little bit quieter than it was when we were out here yesterday. Partly because it's so early, it's the early part of the day, and most people are using the Sunday to, you know, relax and be at home. But as they say in our industry, news never stops. Not even for a moment. We still have a lot of news to get to this Sunday, of course, including the latest coronavirus developments. We are going to begin with the governor's daily briefing, and upset by all the pictures and videos that have been taken of people partying in the streets, not wearing masks, not socially distancing, the warnings have finally been given out. Upset by the rampant violations of the state's pandemic-fighting restrictions, the governor today threatened to pull the liquor licenses of scofflaw restaurants and even reinstate closings in areas where the local governments have failed to enforce the rules. Manhattan and the Hamptons out on Long Island were singled out as the problem areas, and the governor said that the state has received 25,000 complaints of reopening violations. He said that the violations endanger the state's fragile progress in the fight against COVID-19 as it slowly relaxes the restrictions that have been enacted since March. COVID-19 hospitalizations here in the state are still declining, and the state recorded 23 deaths yesterday, the lowest one-day death toll since the early days of the crisis. The New York City that we all know, immortalized in song and scene, has been swapped out for the last few months, and who knows how much longer with the virus version. But with the reopening underway, it raises the question of what the city will become. The near-term and maybe even longer-term impact is undoubtedly going to be ugly, with job losses and financial distress. But in all the unknowing of what the future holds, there is faith in that other quintessential facet of New York City, that the city will adapt. Going back to the governor for a moment, he said that the state recorded its lowest one-day virus death toll and hospitalization total since the early days of the crisis back in March. The governor said yesterday that the western part of the state and the capital region are poised to enter phase three of reopening next week. The state tallied 32 virus-related deaths on Friday, a slight decrease from the day before after some recent fluctuations in the daily toll. The daily death tally peaked at 799 back on April 8th. On Friday, there were 1,734 people being treated for the disease in hospitals across the state, the lowest since March 20th. And we all know that the pandemic has closed the housing courts and prompted most states and federal authorities to initiate policies protecting renters from eviction. But not everyone is covered, and a number of landlords, some desperate to pay their mortgages themselves, are turning to threats and harassment to force tenants out. The evictions are threatening to exacerbate a problem that has plagued people of color long before the pandemic, when landlords across the U.S. were filing about 300,000 eviction requests every month. Some tenants are now banding together to push for legislation at the state and federal level to provide rent and mortgage relief. There is other news of this Sunday to address, and we will address those when the update with Brandon Joy and OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just 30 seconds.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news of this Sunday. There were thousands of marchers that dressed in white. Thousands of marchers flooded in white, and they flooded several blocks around the Brooklyn Museum to support human rights for black transgender people. Organizers of the Sunday afternoon event included the Marsha P. Johnson Institute, the Okra Project, and the Black Trans Femmes in the Arts. The scheduled speakers included transgender activist Raquel Willis, author Cheyenne Dorosho, and the family of Lane Polanco, a transgender woman who died in solitary confinement while at Rikers Island. The rally and the silent march are coinciding with Black Lives Matter demonstrations across the country and the midpoint of Pride Month. Across the border from us in Shelton, Connecticut, officials there are investigating the cause of a massive fire that tore through a vacant 3-story factory building along the Housatonic River. The Starpin factory was ablaze when the Shelton Fire Department arrived on Saturday night. Firefighters opted for a defensive strategy because of the age and condition of the 19th century building. Crews remained on the scene throughout the night as flames shot from the roof of the brick building. It wasn't known, though, if anyone was in the building when the fire started. Back here in the city, the president and 5 other board members of the National Book Critics Circle have resigned amid allegations of racism and violations of privacy. Lori Herzl, who had served as president since last year, announced over the weekend that she was leaving. Her departure came 2 days after another board member, Ugandan-American writer Hope Wabuki, posted redacted screenshots on Twitter of a contentious email exchange that included correspondence from Herzl and board member Carlin Romano. The NBCC had been crafting a response to the worldwide protests against police racism and violence. In the Bronx, the NYPD says that a 19-year-old woman was killed and 3 other were wounded by gunfire at a park on Friday night. The shooting happened around 11 o'clock at Shoelace Park. A 15-year-old boy was wounded in the buttocks, a 16-year-old boy shot in the ankle, and a 24-year-old man was shot in the groin. They're all hospitalized in stable condition. Out west in Buffalo, a teenager there who spent 10 hours cleaning up glass and garbage following protests in his city got a job offer yesterday from the mayor. It was the latest honor for Antonio Gwynn Jr. since word of his actions began circulating a week ago. The 18-year-old has already received a 2004 Ford Mustang from an admirer. Medill College in Buffalo will provide him a full scholarship. And Mayor Byron Brown has offered him a job in the city's buildings department. And finally, out west in Rio Rancho in New Mexico, the United States Congress is once again at an impasse over a widely backed bill to designate lynching as a federal hate crime. But like the previous attempts to pass anti-lynching legislation, the proposal is being blocked by a white Southern representative, Republican Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky. Lynching is defined by Merriam-Webster as, quote, to put to death, as by hanging, by mob action without legal approval or permission. Throughout American history, lynching has been used as a tool of terror. Has been used as a tool of terror against people of color to maintain racist social orders and prevent people of color from voting, asserting human rights, or seeking employment. Time for us to step aside for a moment. When we return on the update this Sunday again from Cedar Grove Beach, we'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports and talk about how MLB is appears to be headed for its shortest season since the 1870s. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history. And then we will address the latest national news, including how Hong Kong Disneyland is going to reopen on June 18th. As the city is looking to gradually restart their economy amid a dwindling of coronavirus infections. We will address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Sterling, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now's the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
They say singing can help you remember things, so here's some tips for parents out there during these tough times.
Number one.
Make sure your kids wash their hands for 20 seconds after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside.
Two.
Virtual play dates, social and physical distancing can help save lives.
Three.
Tell them they're safe and show your love and pride. Yes, we'll get through this together. Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Paging common sense. Is there any common sense left in the room? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for traffic and weather together.
Just a reminder that the subway is for essential workers and essential trips only. When you ride, you must wear a mask or covering that protects your nose and mouth. Do not touch the mask before you wash your hands. Also, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. Also, the subway is closed every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate travel options during those hours, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the sports update.
Let us talk some sports on this Sunday. Jeremy Jeffress, Jordan Montgomery, Kevin Plawecki, Those are just three of a select group of names. They could all be playing for free this season, earning salaries lower than what they already received as advances. Mookie Betts, George Springer, JT Realmuto, James Paxton, and Marcus Stroman are likely to find fewer bidders, dollars, and contract years as the free agent market lurches into a free fall in the next offseason. And all of baseball could be bracing for a spring training lockout and a shortened 2022 season after the pandemic heightened the likelihood of the sports' first work stoppage since 1994-1995. And speaking of MLB, they are appearing to be headed for their shortest season since the 1870s. Baseball players, they've told the commissioner's office that any more talks on starting the season would be pointless, and that owners should order a return to work. Union head Tony Clark said in a statement yesterday that, quote, "It's time to get back to work. Just tell us when and where." The union's action might lead to a season of about 50 games rather than the 82 initially proposed by MLB. The MLB Players Association could respond by filing a grievance that would be heard by arbitrator Mark Irvings, arguing players are owed hundreds of millions of dollars in damages due to a shorter season. MLB responded with a statement accusing the union of not negotiating in good faith and cited... inside of the March agreement that called for a for shorter salaries but did not obligate teams to play at empty ballparks. Clubs also could file a grievance claiming the union did not meet its, quote, good faith obligation. Overall, this could spark lengthy litigation and even could prompt some star players to just sit out overall. When we return on the update this Sunday from, again, in Cedar Grove Beach, we will talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including our overseas in the Philippines. An award-winning journalist that's been critical of the Philippine president has been convicted of libel and sent to jail in a decision that's been called a major blow to press freedom in an Asian bastion of democracy. We will address that and more, but the update of Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Keep it tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
Pass it on.
Now's the time to stay apart. Social distancing. But I'm adding something else. Pull together. What's pulling together while we're staying apart? It's calling family to check in on them. It's waving to your neighbor. It's the things we should have been doing all along. And when this tragedy passes and we're able to come together, we'll be stronger than ever because we've already pulled together. Stay apart. Pull together.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, back out at Cedar Grove Beach. Really lovely spot here. It's not South Beach where me and wifey are, but go to, but it's a pretty decent spot nonetheless. This week is a big week. Graduation. Well, I would have loved it to be an actual, you know, to have an actual graduation ceremony, but then again, beggars can't be choosers. Point is, graduating is the most important thing. Now, if you do not know my decision of where I'm going to school next by now, I am transferring over to the College of Staten Island. Some people, I bet the first question people had, well, did your wife have anything to do with this decision? Well, I mean, we talked about it, but she wasn't the only influence in the decision-making process. You know, college is supposed to be about having fun and challenges. And CSI offers a nice blend of both. Now, hopefully, they can open campuses in some limited capacity. Like, if you want to be able to take a class on campus, you should be able to do that. If you want to take your classes from the comfort of your own home because you don't feel confident or comfortable going back on campus yet, then that should be fine, too. Of course, CUNY has punted their decision on that until July 1st, so it's a thing that we're just gonna have to wait and see. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history, on this Flag Day, June the 14th. The highlight of this day came in 1940 when German troops entered Paris during World War II. The same day, the Nazis began transporting prisoners to the Auschwitz concentration camp in German-occupied Poland. In 1775, the Continental Army, the forerunner of the United States Army, was created. In 1777, the Second Continental Congress approved the design of the original American flag. In 1811, Harriet Beecher Stowe, author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, was born in Litchfield, Connecticut. In 1846, a group of U.S. settlers in Sonoma proclaimed the Republic of California. In 1919, John Alcock and Arthur Witten Brown embarked on the first nonstop flight across the Atlantic Ocean. Flying a Vickers Vimy biplane bomber, they took off from St. John's, Newfoundland in Canada and arrived 16 and a half hours later in Clifton, Ireland. In 1943, the U.S. Supreme Court in West Virginia State Board of Education v. Barnett ruled 6-3 that public school students could not be forced to salute the flag of the United States. In 1954, President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed a measure adding the phrase "Under God" to the Pledge of Allegiance. In 1982, Argentine forces surrendered to British troops on the disputed Falkland Islands. In 1985, the 17-day hijack ordeal of TWA Flight 847 began as a pair of Lebanese Shiite Muslim extremists seized the jetliner shortly after takeoff from Athens, Greece. In 1990, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld 6-3 police checkpoints that examined drivers for signs of intoxication. In 1993, President Bill Clinton nominated Judge Ruth Bader Ginsburg to serve on the U.S. Supreme Court. In 2017, finally should say in 2017, a knife-wielding gunman opened fire on Republican lawmakers at a congressional baseball practice in Alexandria, Virginia, wounding House Whip Steve Scalise and several others. The assailant died in a battle with police. Also, fire ripped through the 24-story Grenfell Tower in West London, killing 71 people. When we return on the update this Sunday in Cedar Grove Beach, we will address the latest national news, including how police in Tennessee say that the 27-year-old daughter of country singer Hank Williams Jr. is killed in a highway accident. We will address that and more when the update of Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive. Also on the... Let me get this right. Also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, returns in just a moment.
Paging news for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pass it on. This time of upheaval is causing me to look a little deeper inside myself, looking for some goodness. And this is what I've found. I'm more aware of my neighbor's well-being. I'm saying thanks to those who help keep my life as normal as possible. My mail carrier, my grocery cashier, my delivery person. I find myself caring about others instead of just looking out for myself. And oh, my goodness, does it feel good. Goodness is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at Mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back to The Update, Brandon Julian, OTR, podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel, back out here in Cedar Grove Beach. Let's address the latest national news on this Sunday. We'll begin overseas in Hong Kong because Hong Kong Disneyland is going to reopen on June 18th as the city is looking to gradually restart its economy amid a dwindling of coronavirus infections. Hong Kong Disneyland, which has of course been closed since January due to the pandemic, will reopen with limited visitor capacity. It will also introduce social distancing measures in restaurants, rides, and other facilities, while suspending activities that require close interaction. The park said Monday, because they're, of course, because of the time difference, that visitors will be asked to wear masks as well as fill out health declaration forms and have the temperature taken upon arrival. It is the second Disney-branded theme park to reopen globally, following Shanghai Disneyland, which opened to guests last month. Staying overseas in the Philippines, an award-winning journalist has been critical of the Philippine president, has now been convicted of libel and sentenced to jail in a decision called a major blow to press freedom in an Asian bastion of democracy. The court found Maria Reza, her online news site Rappler Incorporated, and its former reporter guilty of libeling a wealthy businessman. The story back in 2012 cited an intelligence report linking him to a murder and other crimes. Reza was sentenced to up to 6 years but was not taken into custody. She posted bail for the case last year, and her lawyers said that they will appeal. Back here in the States, down in Paris, Tennessee, police there say that the 27-year-old daughter of country singer Hank Williams Jr. has been killed in a highway accident. Tennessee Highway Patrol spokesman Lieutenant Brad Wilbank says that Catherine Williams Dunning of Springville was the driver of an SUV that was towing a boat when it crossed the median and rolled over last night. The accident happened on U.S. Route 79, northeast of Paris. Her husband, 29-year-old Tyler J. Dunning, was a passenger in the vehicle. News outlets report that he was airlifted to a Nashville hospital, but his condition wasn't immediately released. Wilbank says that the accident remains under investigation. And finally, down in Camden, New Jersey, when police across the U.S., have been clashing with Black Lives Matter protesters over George Floyd's deaths, officers in Camden, New Jersey marched along with residents and activists. For the poor city across the river from Philadelphia, it was 7 years ago when civic leaders disbanded the police department and started anew. Former Chief Scott Thompson says that the focus today is on police engagement with the community and de-escalation when problems arise. Critics say that the new agenda comes with more patrols and more surveillance, and that's the opposite of protesters' demand for less policing. Our thought for today is from Henry Cabot Lodge, a U.S. senator and historian, born in 1850 and died in 1924. Our thought for today is, it is the flag just as much of the man who naturalized yesterday as of the men whose people have been here many generations. I will let you guys ponder on that, as we say, in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. Sunday, June the 14th, 2020, that's the update.